From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
I don't want my salad delivered in a plastic box or to pay a ransom price per pound either, meaning I want to produce homegrown as many months of the year as I can. Today's topic is how to plan for the best salad year ever with organic seedsman Tom Stearns to guide us as I kick off my annual seed series on the program. And more on that in a moment, but first this.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Tom Stearns is founder of High Mowing Organic Seeds in Vermont, with more than 20 years specializing in breeding, selecting, and marketing of organic varieties. And thanks, Tom, for making time to talk salad today.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to talk with you.
Yeah, over the years on the show, you and I have talked about tomato hygiene, as you taught me to think of it, and spinach growing, and cucurbits, and all kinds of things. Things that have proven to be really popular how-tos that people are using again and again each year and searching, people finding them by search on the web. So I'm excited to get your advice on this most important topic of filling the salad bowl. So, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So things have really, I feel like, I mean, I've been gardening, I don't know, 100 years or so, 30-something, I don't know, how long have I been gardening? 35 years, something like that. And I feel like things have changed. You know, I used to get a couple of varieties of lettuce, black-seeded Simpson and one of the oak leaves and, you know, a couple things. And I'd sow a block every week or two. You know, I used to do blocks in the days and do cut and come again. But now it's like, wow, there's so many strategies and so many possibilities and to really do a better job, so much choice. Yeah. And I wondered if you just kind of like characterize what's going on, because you've been there at the pulse of it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with the versatility of this crop that is everybody, when you think about it in as far as the kitchen is concerned, everybody knows what to do with lettuce.
Yeah.
You don't do much with it. You mix it into a bowl, you put some dressing on it, and maybe some cucumbers or cherry tomatoes or whatever on it. It's totally unintimidating.
Yeah.
And it's something that people eat as a regular part of a meal, as opposed to, say, something like a fancy type of winter squash or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Salad is ubiquitous and versatile. And so that everybody who's involved in the marketing of produce has known that and has stretched the use of salad and what counts as salad into a lot of different ways, and then that's translated onto the farm and growers. And I think the big advantage for both gardeners and farmers in growing lettuce and other types of greens is that they are really quick. All you needed to do is to make a leaf.
Yeah.
You don't need to make a stalk, flower, fruit, none of that stuff. So,
right.
It's really, really versatile in that way, too. And, of course, there are really interesting trends and things like you spoke about, diversity out there that's really different than it was even 10 years ago, and certainly 20 or 30.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I used to, you know, if I were writing a story about lettuce as a garden writer, you know, in the newspaper years ago or whatever, a magazine, you know, I would say, okay, there's, you know, four basic types of lettuce. There's, you know, the loose leaves, and there's the crisp heads, and there's the butter heads, and there's the cos or romaine, however you say, C-O-S.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I go, no, now we have like the celtus or whatever, the stem lettuce. But at any rate, you know, now it's like, the category, say in a catalog like High Mowing, you know, there's a lot of different categories that didn't even exist having to do with the utility and what you get. So like everyone loves baby sized leaves, and the old style way of Margaret's old style way of growing that again was that sort of cut and come again, you know, sow it, broadcast it in a thickish way and cut the baby leaves a few times and then sow again, sow another block.
Right.
But now it's different. So what about that sort of baby leaf passion that people have?
Sure. Well, I mean, this is something that I don't honestly know where it started and how much of this is coming from any European influence or not. But I certainly know some early growers who 20-plus years ago on the West Coast started, you know, sowing very, very thickly and basically mowing their crop of single leaves and not, quote unquote, wasting time growing a full plant, just, you know, using this crop as to produce a baby leaf, and maybe they'd get a second or a third cut, maybe they wouldn't. But California discovered this, and now it's so much more common to see, you know, a plastic box or clamshell of baby leaf, whether it's lettuce or spinach or chard or kale more recently.
Yes.
And to see those fields in California. Now, most of the lettuce for the country has been grown in California for a long time, and so the baby leaf has replaced a lot of the full-size head lettuce. And then more recently, you've got these individual heads are coming back, but they're miniature heads.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. That's been, you know, and I saw initially I saw like Salanova was one breeding line, and I think you have Easy Leaf with a Z in the middle, E-A-Z-Y Leaf, and I'm sure there's other ones. I don't know all of them. What is that? How does that work?
Well, even prior to the one-cut Salanova Easy Leaf types were these, like, miniature romaines, these ones that basically it's like you split it in half and it's got a, you know, you have two servings right there, ready to go. Uh-huh. And so these mini heads, little gems and mini romaines and all the variations on that. Like you said, it's so much more than the four types of lettuce.
Yes.
They're crossing them with each other and coming up with different combinations, and there's colors of and leaf types, like the edges being ruffled or folded or blistered or all of that stuff. So, these miniature heads are something that we've really seen take off a lot. So there's that, and then we can talk about the Easy Leaf, too.
Mm-hmm.
But these mini heads offer a crop of a full-sized head, not a baby leaf, but a full head.
Right.
With, you know, in about two-thirds of the time that it would take to grow a regular full-sized head. And in half the space or less than half the space. So from a gardener or a farmer's perspective, you can pack a lot in and get it quicker. And from an eater's perspective, sometimes it seems maybe there's even a little, not a backlash exactly, but the idea in the spring of having a head of lettuce to bite into or to work with as opposed to a bunch of tiny little baby leaves seems to evoke a little bit of substantiality to that people are interested in, even if it's these mini heads.
Yes,
it's still
a head. Yeah, I think you're right. It has a sense of finished completion. You know, it's a product. It's done.
Right.
It's shaped up, right? And plus, there's that sort of thinking that some people have, a Don Tipping onion person out at Siskiyou, right, in the West, and, you know, said to me once something about how he spaces onions and more in groups as opposed to each plant, each little seedling spaced, you know, 6 or 8 inches apart or whatever. He sort of puts them in clusters, and the reason being, who needs a 2-pound onion? You know, when you go to need an onion, who needs a 2-pound onion? And what you were just saying, you know, you and your partner or whatever having supper, how big a head of lettuce do you need? So it is enough also. There's a sense of enoughness, I think, with these beautiful things. And I've seen the smaller cabbages. You have some of those. In fact, I think on your Instagram, you decorated one as a Christmas tree, didn't you?
I think it was one of our customers. One of our customers shared that with us, and we reshared it. That was great. But you're right. I mean, if you think a long time ago, vegetables were a lot bigger. There's been a trend across all different types of vegetables of downsizing, and that means because families are smaller. And again, this is thinking of it in the U.S. Families tend to be smaller. Maybe people are eating out more, or the idea of having like a huge cabbage that takes up literally like half a shelf in your fridge. That what are you going to do? Like hack away at it? Like,
right.
Every day for 10 days,
right.
Nobody eats like that anymore.
Exactly.
So these miniature you know, versions of these familiar things. Again, like we've got all these mini winter squash, mini butternuts.
Yeah.
And they are concentrated and packed with flavor. There's zero sacrifice. In fact, an emphasis on flavor in all the breeding work that we're a part of,
right,
in a mini package.
Right. So let's talk about, like, strategic, before we do the, like, Salanova Easy Leaf, the ones that where it's a head that when you cut it, every leaf is the small size, even though it's the full head. That's a different thing. So before we get there, let's just talk about, okay, I'm in a different part of the country, some listeners are, or it's a different season, it's hot, it's cool, whatever. Generally speaking, what are sort of some of the guidelines for picking the right, selecting the right variety to grow when, whether in those old-fashioned four groups of lettuces or, like, how do you say to people, start in the cooler season with this and finish in the cooler season again with this and in the middle do this?
Yeah. I mean, certainly there are some lettuce varieties that are a little bit more tolerant of heat, and that might mean that they're bolt tolerant or they conserve moisture better. Some of the Batavian types of lettuce, which are a little bit glossier, have a better, can do better in hotter climates. But in general, lettuce really likes, you know, let's say 55 to 75 degrees.
Uh-huh.
That is the sweet spot. And, again, coastal California, that's what you got. I mean, it almost never gets to 80 degrees.
I see.
In many, many places in coastal California. And it also rarely gets down into the 40s in a lot of these places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a perfect spot for a lot of lettuce production. So they do need moisture. They like a lot of water,
mm-hmm,
and cooler temperatures. But you can start lettuce indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're planting a fall, you know, lettuce in your garden in the fall, but it's August. It's too hot. Seedlings, lettuce seed has a hard time germinating when the soil is too warm and the plants have a hard time. They just need it cooler to start. So, you know, starting them indoors is pretty easy to grow lettuce at least a third of its life in a tray.
Right.
And then put it out. You know, it's more convenient for a lot of other reasons, too, weeding or deer eating it or whatever.
And similarly, getting a head start, not now, but, you know, in the pre-spring period in cooler zones, doing the same thing. It doesn't want to be covered very deep, though. Doesn't it need light to germinate? I can't remember. Is lettuce one of those things?
It does need light to germinate, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't cover it. It's just like a little bit.
Don't bury it deep.
No, I mean, with most seeds, I find that the rule of thumb of, at least if you're talking about a garden environment where you have some control over the moisture because you're watering, you know, you shouldn't really bury the seeds much deeper than two times their longest dimension, their largest dimension. So in the case of a lettuce, you're talking about maybe an eighth of an inch,
right,
a quarter inch deep.
Right. So certain things have this heat resistance, like the Batavian types you were saying, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
What stuff is extra cold? And, of course, we need to read the varietal descriptions, and we need, as we're shopping for seeds, to choose a palette that takes us through our season, right? That's the strategy, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends on how extreme your particular season is. Now, where I am in Vermont, it never gets too hot for lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
So from April through October, we're golden.
Mm-hmm.
We're maybe pushing it a little bit on each end. Then, of course, we have winter. Most lettuce varieties, even up here, will survive in an unheated hoop house during the winter with two layers of row cover.
Interesting.
So we don't think about lettuce as being super, super hardy. But it's remarkably hardy. Now, some varieties will grow more quickly in the spring when things finally do start warming up, whereas others will just sort of sit there stuck, and then maybe 3 weeks later they'll start growing. So you see varietal differences in the growth rate in the spring. But in terms of winter survival, we've done a lot of trials, and yeah, certainly there are some differences, but remarkably, many varieties survive just fine. So if you're in a place where it's too cold, consider that row cover can really help.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
The tricky thing is being in a place where it's too hot, because again,
right,
this is what lettuce doesn't like. So the varietal differences, the Batavian types are really helpful. Starting them indoors, making sure that the seed gets a cool place to germinate.
Right.
Those things all really help. You know, heat stress is countered a little bit by moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's water, that can help keep the roots cool. You know, you can plant it in a shadier part. Let's say you're in a really warm place, or it's the time of year, August or July, you can plant it in a little bit of a shadier spot. That just keeps the soil from getting blasted all day and heated up so much.
Yeah. And
you
can also
plant it in the shade of other crops in your garden, taller things.
That's what I've always done. That was a sort of, you know, low-tech,
yeah,
old-fashioned, you know, you plant it on the shady side of the bean teepees or the tomato row or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So these crazy ones now that I see more and more, like your Easy Leaf that you feature, or like Salanova, or, and then again, there's probably more types, strains of these. What was the thing? I mean, are these for professional growers, or are you finding that home growers are using these too? And describe them, I guess, first, generally.
Yeah, so you described them well earlier, that it makes a head. Now, it's a miniature-sized head.
Yeah.
But the leaves all emerge from the same point, the same growth point equally. So imagine harvesting this and cutting off the sort of the stem of it, the root ball of it.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, 50 leaves that are exactly 3 or 4 inches long.
Right.
And they're all the same.
Right.
And so there's a convenience factor there for a home gardener. And for a grower, what you can do instead of pulling the plant up is you mow them in a similar way that you are mowing baby leaf when you plant it really densely as individual plants. Here you're mowing the, you know, 30 to 50 leaves off the top of this thing, and then you have an established plant root system that can re-spread.
Okay, so these are cut-and-come-again-ish thing, too. I see.
Totally can.
Okay,
totally can.
Okay. And is the spacing, so from the biggest lettuce spacing for, like, a big head lettuce to the baby leaf, like, how does our spacing shift, and where do these fit in?
Yeah, there is somewhere in the middle. So, you know, if you're doing baby leaf, you're usually planting, 20 to 30 seeds per foot.
Right.
So one every half inch kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your rows are like 2 inches apart. It's just like a solid carpet.
Right.
That's for baby leaf. Then for these cut and come again, Easy Leafs or Salanovas or even the miniature romaines or the mini heads, those are more like on a 6-inch center. Some of them maybe 8 inches.
Okay.
And then you get to your full-size lettuce where, you know, they can be 12 inches or even 18 inches apart if you're growing really big ones.
Right. A lot of readers have been telling me, and I was sort of surprised by this, that home gardeners are doing it more and more, is that they're growing microgreens even in the off-season, speaking of the smallest thing of all.
Totally, yeah.
The youngest thing of all. So are people growing those outdoors, like, or just as this sort of in a tray indoors, or what's that you've, from your experience with customers?
Yeah, microgreens are huge. I mean, it is a great way, just like sprouts.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lot of room, or if you're in an apartment and you have no access to a garden, or it's in the middle of winter, you can get some greens for yourself inexpensively, and they'll be delicious and fresh and quick. Like, we're talking a week or less for both microgreens and sprouts in a lot of cases. Mostly it's indoors, because these are fragile little
seedlings. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can grow them in trays and, you know, be really space efficient. But yeah, generally it's indoors. And there's so many flavors and shapes and colors
It's mind-boggling. You have a great, and I'll give the link with the transcript of the show, a 7 Easy Steps for Growing Microgreens that I think Katie Spring maybe wrote, someone who worked for you, I think, and she's a farmer.
Right.
And I'll give the link for that so people can learn how to do it if they want to do it. But we we have maybe 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes to talk. And I wanted to say, in the Stearns household, where you have access to everything, I imagine you living in paradise where you can just go outside and get anything and everything. So what makes it into your salad bowl? Like, or do you have some favorite varieties or ones new or old that you want to tell us about? And also, sure. The, you know, both the greens, lettuces, and add-ins as well.
Yeah. Well, you'll like this. I don't really like lettuce that much.
Now, Tom, you're not. You promised not to say that.
No, no, no. I like growing it.
I know. I'm teasing you.
I like growing the seed of it, especially. But spinach.
Uh-huh.
I'm all about spinach. I mean, you and I have talked about spinach.
And we have a great how-to, which you, in the secret, yeah, being lime. It's one of the unusual vegetables that prefers a little bit of lime. And you gave me lots of good tips, and I'll share those with people again. Yes.
Yeah. So spinach, kale, some of the more substantial greens that you can really get your teeth around, for me, are more my favorite. So that's what makes it into our my salad bowl. The arugula also.
I love arugula. And there's so many different ones, too. It's not just the plain old one. I mean, there's different leaf shape and hotness. I guess that would be the word, pepperiness. Yeah?
Yeah. So, but when it comes to lettuce, I do like romaine. So I like a crunch.
Okay.
I like something that, you know, that substantial crunch. And the other kind that I like is, in fact, sort of the opposite of romaine, is the butterheads.
Oh, wow, yes.
Like velvet.
Yes.
I mean, these leaves are melting your mouth, buttery and soft, and just really quite incredible. So those are my two sort of favorite types of lettuce.
Uh-huh. And do you guys add into your non-lettuce salads? Do you use like a lot of herbs, or are there any other things that you always have in the so-called like salad garden-y area that you would recommend to us to have a look at?
Yeah, so I think herbs and salads are great, for sure. You know, I definitely have tomatoes in the salad as often as I can.
Yeah.
Things that you wouldn't grow in a garden, too. Nuts, cheese, cranberry, dried cranberries. I'm all about that. Those kinds of things in salads.
Uh-huh.
But I do really like grated carrots or grated beets.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Yeah.
It's substantial. Both carrots and beets are super sweet. So it adds a lot of that. It adds a lot of moisture, so you don't even necessarily need dressing. I'm not a really big fan of dressing in salads. I use it sometimes, but if you have moisture in there from some of these other things, again, shredded beets and shredded carrots are really, really good.
Huh.
So, those are more my go-tos.
So before we finish, I want to ask, something I forgot to ask is just about the sort of succession schedule. Like, if I want to have lettuce coming through the season, you know, I always used to sort of like every 10 days sow a short row or a block. I'm a one-person family, or I've been a two-person family, you know. But, like, how often should we have a succession coming along, do you think?
Well, that's not a bad approach. I mean, you can always, you know, you might need more for guests coming over, or, you know, like you could get really crazy with planning to make sure you have a lot coming in for the 4th of July party you're having or whatever. But if you just plant a little bit every week or two, and it's okay if it goes by, you know, you could give it to a neighbor or just till it in or not worry about it so much. Pull it out if it bolts and make room for the next succession.
Okay.
But lettuce can take, you know, a month and a half to 2.5 months to reach a full size. But baby leaf can be 21 days.
Okay.
So if you do get behind, it won't be for long.
All right, so we'll do the math. Tom Stearns from High Mowing Organic Seeds, thank you so much, and happy growing, and don't forget to eat some lettuce, Tom.
Okay, I'll eat some for you, Margaret.
I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
And thanks to all of you for listening, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy seed chopping and gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.